Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be who you are. It's such simple advice, and it's advice that every single one of us has received from people. Sometimes when we can be nervous in a situation and there's someone there that says, hey, just be yourself. Be who you are. It is such simple advice, but it can be advice that we don't always listen to. Maybe to impress someone, maybe to fit in with the crowd, maybe to stop having people mock you or make fun of you. You try to be someone that you are not. And most of the time, this doesn't work. It just causes us stress to be who we are not. Therefore, the advice to be who you are is very beneficial for us. And as we continue looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this is what he tells us to do. Last week, he told us how blessed we are. Today, he tells us to be who we are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Notice very carefully that Jesus does not say you will be the salt of the earth. He does not say you are going to be the light of the world. He says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What a joy that is that we already know who we are. But how can this be? How can we be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? It's not who we are by nature. By nature, we are anything but the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But Peter explains to us why we are who we are. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. At one time, we were not the salt of the earth or the light of the world. We were not a people who belonged to God. We did not receive mercy. But God called us and made us his own people. He has given us his mercy. Through his word and his sacraments, he has created faith in our hearts, and he has made us who we are now. And that's why he encourages us to simply be who we are. So who are we? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Now what does that mean? Today we use salt to make food taste better. But back in Jesus' day, the primary use for salt was to preserve food. Nowadays, we have refrigerators and freezers to preserve our food. But back then, salt was used to stop food from spoiling and becoming rotten. So in a spiritual sense, God uses us to preserve this world. Think about this. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. Abraham prayed to the Lord to spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 10 righteous people in that city. And God said for the sake of those 10 righteous people, he would preserve the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Unfortunately, there were not 10 righteous people. But now think about how this applies to us right now. If there were no longer any Christians existing in this world, and there was no longer anyone to be brought to faith, God would no longer preserve this world. But we are still here. And we are the salt of the earth because God uses us to preserve the world as we serve him and bring others to faith so that they, in turn, will serve the Lord and bring others to faith. We are the salt of the earth. But Jesus gives us a warning here. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Some people have this idea that once we are saved, we are always saved. But here Jesus tells us that we who are the salt of the earth can lose our saltiness. And if that happens, we are good for nothing except to be thrown out. So let us take this warning from Jesus very seriously. Let us not become lazy in our faith and take it for granted. Let us not become lazy in putting our faith into practice. Let us listen to what Jesus encourages us to be who we are as the salt of the earth. But that's not all that we are. We are also the light of the world. Now, unlike explaining what salt was used for back in Jesus' day, we all know the purpose of light. We use light to remove darkness. That's why Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and then puts a covering over it. Instead, we light a lamp, put it on its stand so that it can give its light to everyone in the house. We are the light of the world. And so in a spiritual sense, we are to let the light of Christ shine in our lives. These past few weeks, we have talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. We have talked about how the people living in darkness have seen his great light. And at times we have talked about how we can hide our light for various reasons. But be who you are. Do not hide your light of Christ. Do not be afraid to share your faith with others. Don't keep it a secret. But be who you are as the light of the world. And here Jesus gives us one reason we are to be who we are as the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Sometimes as we let the light of Christ shine in our lives, people will be drawn to our message. And other times as we let our light of Christ shine in our lives, people will not be drawn to our message. But that should never stop us from being who we are as the light of the world. For even though people may not be brought to faith, they can see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. But how can that be? Why would people who don't even believe in God praise him? Well, think about it in this way. If we told someone what our faith is all about, and we told them the commands that God has given us, and then we don't do those commands, people will view us as being hypocrites, and they will not be motivated to praise God at all. But if we obey the commands that God has given us, the commands that Isaiah gave us this morning, to feed the hungry, to help the poor, to be there for the sick, to pray for those in need, people will see that. They will approve of what we do, and they will praise God because we are following his commands. And even if some people do not approve of what we do as we obey God's commands, Peter tells us, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. On the last day, when God visits us again, people will have to realize that God used us to be the light of the world, and they will have to praise God for that. Therefore, let us listen to Jesus' encouragement and to be who we are as the light of the world. But now we focus on something that seems like we just can't be. Jesus says, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now understand, Jesus is not approving of everything that the Pharisees did. There are multiple times throughout the Gospels that we see Jesus speaking against what the Pharisees were doing. But here he uses the Pharisees to teach the people a lesson. The Pharisees had created over 600 laws for them to follow, and they did obey those commands. So in the eyes of the people, they viewed the Pharisees as those who were righteous and perfect. But Jesus tells each and every one of us that our righteousness has to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. He tells us if our righteousness does not surpass them, then we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But how can we be this way when clearly we are not? Our righteousness does not surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. Our righteousness is not perfect. Lord willing, next week Jesus will show us how we disobey some of his commands. But for this morning, let's just focus on obeying commands in general and we will see our unrighteousness. Just like the Pharisees who obeyed all these commands so that people would praise them, there are times that we only obey commands not to let the light of Christ shine to other people so that they may praise him, but we only do it to let our light for ourselves be shown so that we can receive praise from others. There are some times that we obey commands, but we don't do it willingly and gladly and out of love for God. Children, sometimes you only obey your parents, and deep down you think, my parents are being too strict, they're being too harsh, it's not fair what they're telling me to do. We may obey the commands that our government tells us to do, but we may not honor and respect them simply because I didn't vote for that person to be in office. And then there are those times that we just flat out don't obey God's commands because we think that some of his commands really don't apply to us or that we are above the commands of God. Our righteousness does not surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. Our righteousness is not perfect. And most importantly, how can we enter into the kingdom of heaven since we can't be what Jesus tells us to be? Well, Jesus gives us this command not to encourage us to earn the kingdom of heaven by what we do. He gives us this command so that we will turn to him for our perfect righteousness. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law accused Jesus of overthrowing all of the law that God had given to them. But Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. His righteousness surpassed the righteousness of the Pharisees. In fact, the various laws were put into place to point people to Christ. Scripture says these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And Christ's sacrifice took away our sins, and now he gives us his perfect righteousness. That's why we can be who we are. Because Christ, the fulfillment of the law and his perfect righteousness, lives in us. And Christ began to live in us when God used his word to bring us to faith. And here Jesus has something very interesting to say about God's word. "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." God's word will always exist. Heaven and earth will disappear before God's word ever disappears. What a great comfort that is for us. Not only in the sense that God's word will always be here, but also in the sense of what God's word will do for us in our lives. It is God's word that tells us who we are, that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and Christ is our perfect righteousness. But our sinful nature will stop at nothing to remove that comfort from us. Our sinful nature will always be there to accuse us of sin. Our sinful nature will tell us that there is no possible way that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world, and that we are perfect enough to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there are times that we can listen to our sinful nature, and therefore we can be filled with despair to be who Christ says we are. But we remove that despair by going to God in His Word. God's Word tells us that God called us to be His own. He made us who we are. God's Word tells us that He loves us and He will always love us. God's Word tells us that He forgives us our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our guilt from us. God's Word tells us that Christ is our perfect righteousness. And because of Him, we will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is God's Word that tells us who we are. And so let us be who we are. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Let us be the salt of the earth as God uses us to preserve this world as we serve Him. Jesus calls us the light of the world. Let us be the light of the world as we let the light of Christ shine in our lives to all people so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Christ tells us to have our righteousness be perfect. And let us do that. Not in the sense that we can earn heaven, but in the sense that we trust God, who is our perfect righteousness, and He assures us of that in His Word, which never passes away. It is Christ and His Word that tells us who we are. And so let us listen to Jesus and be who we are. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, please sign the friendship register in your pew.